Welcome to the She Bowls podcast. This is episode number 3, Build a Bag. And today I'm joined by a special guest. We have Danielle Shirley, who is a mom, entrepreneur, and a beast in financial literacy, if you ask me. How are you, Danielle?
I'm good, Carla. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's just get straight to it. So I want you to tell the audience about your business. I want you to tell the audience things you want us to know about yourself, what you do, upcoming projects, and what social platforms they can find you on. I know I asked you a lot of questions. So if you want me to go back, I have no problem doing that.
No problem. Well, thank you first and foremost, She Blows It Podcast. This is an amazing platform. So thank you so much. I'm really proud and privileged to be on it. My name is Danielle Shirley. I am a financial literacy educator. So I teach parents how to save, how to budget, how to invest their money, and how to teach their kids to do the exact same. So I started this business about a year ago. So in the middle of 2020, when I found myself doing the same thing for my daughter, I was teaching her how to budget, how to make money, and how to invest for the very first time. So I have a 13-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. So I was literally documenting on my Instagram channel how I started to teach her how to do those things. And I realized so many of us millennial parents need help in this area. So I turned that education into a business that I do personal one-on-one coaching. I also provide tons of free content on my Instagram, which is Danielle_invests. Pretty simple. But I encourage you guys to follow me there. I post tons of free game all the time. I try to have money experts talk. Recently, I had someone talk about a college 529 plan. And it's just a great platform to be able to share information on financial literacy.
Yes, thank you for that. And we're going to get into that 529 plan because I have that written down.
Yeah.
But before we get into this baggy conversation, I want everyone to subscribe to this podcast, not only on Anchor, if you're listening through Anchor, but Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Google Podcast. I mean, we're pretty much everywhere, Breaker Podcast and Radio Public. So if you want to keep up with the latest events on the She Blows It Instagram page, you can follow that at SheBlowsIt_pod. And then again, you can follow Danielle at Danielle_invests on Instagram. So Danielle, the premise of the show focuses on the disconnect between the public school system education, that's a part of it, parents and financial literacy, especially in marginalized communities. And we're going to connect the dots with ways to help those parents, like you said, millennial parents, and shout out to the millennial parents because I'm a millennial parent too. Just connecting the dots with ways to rise above financial illiteracy so that our children aren't in a cycle of instability, or, you know, our children aren't lacking the resources to build a bag.
Right.
And I'm going to do something a little different, Danielle. So I did a little research on you and your brand, and I thoroughly enjoyed your show when you were encouraging others, like, you know, not to lose hope if they're unemployed. You did that with Kevin. He's a corporate attorney, and you guys just basically uplifted so many people. And I encourage everyone to go to Danielle's page and watch that video. It's Don't Lose Hope If You're Unemployed. It's an Instagram show. I believe I'm quoting that correctly. But
yes, yes.
It's an easy find, and it, like, you put so many people on. Like, you put me on, too, because you were like, well, you know how to drive, right? So that's a source of income. I'm like, yeah, she's been engaged. You brought up the Fiverr, and you have people taking notes, girl, because I was taking notes too. So the three major things that I noticed we have in common just by going through your pages: one, we're both striving attorneys. Mm-hmm. And I felt your pain when I saw your post with all those books, and you were like, I just want to burn these books.
Burn them. Yeah, absolutely. You know, to touch on the point about Kevin real quick before we continue, For those who are listening right now, before you have an opportunity to look at that video, it's on my IGTV. And we were basically, you know, Kevin is a corporate attorney. I am a, you know, striving attorney. And we were talking about how not to lose hope during this pandemic if you're unemployed or underemployed. And basically, we were just spitting different ways to make money during this time and using the gifts and talents you already have to generate some type of income for yourself and for your family. You know, get creative, like Carla, with what you're doing with this podcast. You know, you're using the skill of your voice and the skill of communication, which you're such an effective communicator, to, yeah, of course, I mean, to teach other people and to talk about what's on your mind, but also that's a stream of income. So like you were saying, you know, if I know how to drive, I can definitely know how to Uber. I can definitely know how to Uber Eats. I can definitely, you know, if I have a car, I can rent my car, doing a lot of different things. And so that's like in some the content you will find on my page, free game to help you get to where you want to be with your money goals.
Yes. And that's what we need. We need to put people on. So outside of both of us being striving attorneys, we both consider ourselves the Jill of all trades and the master of none, because we wear so many hats. And I have that as my bio. And I know you mentioned that in one of your videos when you were describing, let me not get all the videos mixed up. I know you were describing the 529 and you did the unemployment one. So you did describe yourself as a Jill of all trades. I definitely identify with you on that. And I mean, we're just versatile. Like, you know, again, the same way that you explained the separation of different tasks, how you can have multiple streams of income, how you can separate your brands, you know, how you can monetize off of your brands during the pandemic. So just kind of like, okay, let's flip this. Let's hustle. Like it's a hustle. Like it really is, like to a hustle to build yourself.
You know? Right. And just to, yeah, absolutely. To expand on that point just a little bit, a little foundation on why I said that, right? So last year in the middle of the pandemic, I was graduating college as an adult student. So shout out to the class of 2020 who, you know, graduated in the pandemic. Yes. And so I was actively looking for ways to increase my income streams. I wanted multiple streams of income. I wanted to be able to cash flow law school. I wanted to, you know, not take out student debt for law school first and foremost. So I was looking, I was eager and looking for ways to do that, right? To accomplish that goal. Mm-hmm. And so I found myself starting a business and then starting another business and then starting another business. And then before you know it, I had three businesses on my hands. And I am the type that I love to do a million things. I'm good at cooking, you know, I love to do a million things. I'm good at exercising. So I teach people how to exercise. I'm good at cooking because I was a chef. I mean, I'm good at like a million things, right? But what I realized through opening all of these businesses was that I was becoming good at a lot of different things, but not a master at really anything. And that's what I find a lot when people try to spread themselves out too thin. And it's something that I still struggle with to this day, because I'm just such a passionate, on fire, go, go, go type of person that I want to do everything. But I'm learning that in order to build wealth, you have to stop trading your time for money. You have to learn how to delegate. Yes. Yeah, girl. You got to learn how to delegate, you know, pay someone to take something off your plate. And we're going to talk about that as far as, you know, building wealth and not trading your time for money. So that's where I found myself.
Oh, that is such a great point. I follow another page and it's like a business page, but he also gives financial advice as well. He's Hip Hop Measure. Shout out to Hip Hop Measure. His name is Caesar, but he also talks about, you know, financial literacy, and he puts people on free game. Like, I think you would love his page. Like, I think you would love the knowledge he spits too.
I'm definitely going to look him up.
Yep. Hip Hop Measure on Instagram. And he posts about the same exact thing. Like, stop trading your time for money, because you're wasting valuable time that you could be pouring yourself into, you know, something that's going to make you more money as opposed to you know, working a job, and we'll get into more about this. I'm in corporate America, and I just know like both sides of it. I know how it is working for someone, and I know how it is working for myself. So like I see both ends of the spectrum, you know, but I'd like to lean more towards working for myself. But, you know, before you, in the process of building the wealth, you kind of have to sacrifice your time because you have to have the funds to be able to get to fund your business, to be able to have your business fund itself. So we'll talk about all of that. And the theme of this season, Danielle, I entitled it Made in Ignorance, What We Didn't Learn in School. And that's more like specific to the public school system.
Right.
And if you went to a public school, you probably can relate to a lot of.
I did. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of the information and knowledge that you share with your audience on your platform are concepts that we didn't learn in school, like how to write a check, how to create a budget, like what an investment is. And that information is so vital to struggling parents, especially single moms and single dads, who may not know how to grow their money. And, you know, that's the whole point, for the money to work for you. Like you just said, like basically the money needs to work for you, not you work for it, not you spending your life and your time working from it. And from a millennial perspective, which I kind of highlighted this on a previous episode, and the previous episode, number two, is My Teacher Doesn't Look Like Me. And I talked about so many cultural and ethnic barriers that interfere with teachers' ability to identify with their students. And I also talked about, you know, the public school system and how they don't prepare our children for life. Yet they teach our children how to take a test, like, you know, and I made a reference, like we learn about how much change Sally got back when she went to the store with $12 and bought an apple for $6.
Right. You
know, we learned how to find the percentage of an investment. Like we saw these things and we didn't know what an investment was, but we knew how to find the percentage
right.
of what the investment was. So we never really truly knew how money works in life. So then on the other hand, you have some parents out there who just lack resources. So with a lack of resources in the school and at home, like that poses such a big issue. And that's why we're here today, because Danielle, I know you're about to drop some gems about how to steer our children in the right direction so that they have financial freedom, so that they have independence. So surprisingly, I did a poll on Instagram because I wanted to share this with you and I wanted to see where everyone was at. And the poll I did on Instagram, I just asked everybody, you know, how many of you guys walked out of high school and graduated and knew how to write a check? So out of my followers, I only have like 180 something followers or 160. I don't know. I don't really.
You're getting there, girl. You're getting there.
Yeah, I'm going to get there. 67% of my followers, though, said that they graduated high school without learning how to write a check.
Mm.
So out of that 100 something odd people, only 67%. I mean, 67% did not know how to write a check. That is a big percentage out of like 100.
Yeah.
So, boom. Danielle, how can we help parents in our community and marginalized communities, especially like kick the bucket on financial illiteracy? Like, how can we unpack that and make it clear as to what we can do with education and resources to help our parents?
Wow. I mean, that is a stunning poll right there. And I mean, thankfully we don't write too much checks nowadays, but still it's an important thing to learn, because what that teaches you is how to write a check, how to balance your checkbook, which full circle talks about budgeting and not writing a bad check and going overdraft. So it's a lot to unpack there. And, you know, especially in marginalized communities who lack resources, it taps into my heart, right? Because I grew up in Richmond Heights. I live in Miami, Florida. I don't know if anyone listening to this podcast is familiar with that area, but you know, I did not grow up in poverty, but I did not grow up on the nicest side of the bridge. You know what I mean? So
right.
It taps into my soul completely, my upbringing and how I grew up. Now, I feel like us as millennials, we went through the school system and kind of remember what it was like for us. But now as a parent, so I'm a parent of an eighth grader and she's 13, I look at what she's being taught with a different lens, right? So we're going to talk about some of the things that she's learning in school and some of the things that she's being taught about money in school. But I'm really thankful that our generation and the generation below us are plugged into social media. Now, granted, it can be very toxic, but there has been a surge of financial literacy conversations on social media, whether it be TikTok, whether it be Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever you have. And that makes me proud because it's tapping into with fun dances and all of that stuff. It's tapping into where the kids are spending most of their time. And if they see a quick video, where I can't remember the name of this influencer, but she's probably 17 or 18 and she's teaching kids ways to do little side hustles or do jobs and make money and what to do with that money after you make it. So for me, that makes me immensely proud that there are people out there who are filling gaps that may not necessarily be in the classroom, but that are still reaching the kids on the platforms that the kids use. Because hear me out, like I am not anti-education. I am not a school basher. I love education. I think that the teachers, you know, I'm the first one to tell you like the teachers and the school system, you know, shout out to them. I know that they have a hard job. Here's where I land, right? I'm kind of in the middle. I cannot teach my daughter how to be a doctor because I can't teach her biology. I can't teach her chemistry. I can't teach her advanced, you know, subjects that the school system will teach her. And then she can grow up and go to college and medical school and become a doctor. Great. I can, however, teach her about money. But going back to what you said, there are gaps where kids are not getting that financial literacy education from their parents because their parents lack that education as well. And that's a disconnect that we need to help fill the gap, because here's a perspective that I received from a well-off parent, right? They say, you know, personal finance should be taught at home because personal finance is personal. You know, I don't want teachers in school teaching my child that student loan debt is okay. Whereas at home, I'm going to say, no, student loan debt is not okay. So they don't want necessarily their children learning some set of skills that they don't agree with. However, I don't subscribe necessarily to that belief system because I do believe that everyone, especially in our marginalized communities, need a solid foundation of basic financial principles, like how to make money, how to spend money, how to save and invest. Those are basic principles that absolutely 100% should be taught in schools. But I'm actually proud to say that they are being taught in schools. I did not know this before, but I'm excited to share with you. Last year, so the pandemic started and my daughter started going to school at home, and I got to watch what she was doing instead of just hearing about her day after school. And so in her seventh grade civics class, her teacher put the entire class through a 6-week program, and it was presented by a bank. And it was kind of like, do you remember the game The Sims when we were younger?
Oh, yes. I loved The Sims. I would play that all day. Like after school, that was all I would do was play.
Oh my God, me too. I was the same way. So it's kind of set up like that, where you get to pick your little emoji or your little model person, and then you have a house and you get to make all of these decisions, right? And so each week they got to make different decisions for their fake life. You know, the first decision was like, okay, well, I have $200 and I want to decorate my room, but you know, do I use a coupon? Do I go and buy the mirror for my wall? And I want a poster and I want a speaker. And so it made the kids make decisions with fake money, and it made them, you know, subtract the money from their bank account. And then the next module was like, okay, I'm going to get a job, but should I pick this job that focuses on, you know, on-campus work, or should I pick this job that's only $10 an hour versus $12 an hour versus, you know, and it made them make real life decisions. And I was like, this is amazing. I was like, this is amazing. However, she hated it. It was boring to her. Like, she was totally.
Wow. The Sims is.
It is. But for some reason, because it had so many educational, financial overtones to it, she was like, I don't really care. Like, this sucks. I hate it. Like, I'm not going to do it. And it broke my heart because I saw how fantastic the platform was and how much they were learning. And I was like, oh my God, you got to do this, Natalie. You got to do this. And she was like, okay, whatever. And she just kept clicking mindlessly just to get the module done, but she wasn't internalizing the information. So I say all of that to say, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And if I had that type of platform when I was a kid, I probably would have put it to the wayside too, because it's not fun. It's not interesting or exciting, at least when I was 12 or 13 years old. You get what I'm saying? So having some type of like interaction in school and integrating these financial principles in a way that's fun and engaging for the kids, you know, like you've seen those movies where like kids have that favorite teacher because they're fun and they make, you know, learning fun. It has to be like that. Like basically, you know, taking kids out on the basketball court and running some drills with them and being like, all right, if you miss this shot, you got to tell me what a stock is. Or if you miss this shot, you got to, you know what I mean? Like trying to tap into where they're spending their time, like their social media platforms and what interests them, and make it a game. I have like a list of, yeah.
I like that. You know, especially like just to kind of, you know, piggyback off of what you said. If you make it a game like that, that's very interesting. My son loves games. My son, he's 8 years old and he considers himself a gamer. And I think that it is so dope that you brought up The Sims, because listen, I sit here and I am crazy on research, right? And I did not even think about The Sims. And now you have me thinking and reflecting back on myself and when I used to play the game. Like I always wanted the jobs. I had all the money, so I would do whatever I needed to do to get the job where I could get the most money. But I was always I always was like, okay, well, I'm going to build a new house now. I'm going to build another house down the street. And then I'm going to fix my yard up. Like, you know, you could do all of that. Oh, I'm going to put a new pavement in. But I was still like... I'd be like, okay, well, I got to go back to work now because I got to save up some more money. So like, it was fun for me, but I never even like put it together, like with the financial literacy piece. And thinking back now, I never really paid attention to like what I was like, I was actually learning something, but I didn't even realize it. And now because now I'm like, well, that makes sense. You're always looking for the jobs to make the most money. You sacrifice your time for money. But then when you do get the jobs with the money, you know, more money comes more responsibility. So like the girls are serving my life, I'm thinking about this all the time.
But you know, and it's funny because you asked, you know, and I know a lot of people say, well, why is money not taught in schools? And for some schools that may be true, but there is a surge and an overflow of demand, because everybody like you and I are like, why is this not taught in school? Well, people are listening, and like these financial companies, like I believe it was a bank who created this. I don't remember what bank it was, but it was basically a bank presenting this module to my daughter's school. So for whatever cost, you know, they paid this company to integrate it into our curriculum. And I'm hoping that they do it again in high school. But like the other day, for example, I follow a page, Earn Your Leisure, which I absolutely love. I encourage everyone to follow that page, Earn Your Leisure. They talk about financial literacy. They posted a video of a high school class watching their content on the basics of the stock market. Like there's, just like I said, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. There's a demand for this, and slowly we are getting them into the school system, which I'm really proud of.
I'm proud of that too. And in my last episode, I did some research, like, and I actually looked at the state, like the curriculum, just currently. And I noticed that now they're implementing and integrating that into school. And I thought that was dope because when I know for me, I grew up in Delray Beach. So I am from Palm Beach County, and I went to Atlantic High School. Shout out to all of my Eagles there at Atlantic High School. But I know that, you know, they were just getting to the point where they were implementing like academies. I was a part of
me too.
I was in the Criminal Justice Academy, and I know like we learned different things, like in Criminal Justice Academy, like that was where I learned how to write a resume. So I learned that, and they were slowly starting to incorporate certain life skills and transition. But I remember Kevin said he had home economics when he was in school. We didn't have home economics at my school. So that was slowly phasing out. Like I didn't have home economics anything. So I didn't learn how to sew in school. I didn't learn how to cook in school. I didn't learn money in school. Like I just kind of learned through, you know, just experience. Okay, well, there you go. Your account is overdrafted. So now what do you, you know, like I just kind of had to go through trial and error. So when I look back from a millennial perspective of what we didn't learn, like I just don't want to see our millennial parents who have struggled with the same like deficit teach their kids this same thing. But again, like you said, now they're starting to integrate it, you know, into the school. I know I see in the Florida State standards that now they're, you know, trying to prepare children for life skills. And although it was very vague, I put like some links. I did a study between New Jersey and Florida, but interestingly, New Jersey, they're state mandated to teach financial literacy, whereas Florida isn't. But I think that based off of what you said, your daughter had a 6-week course and she was learning about money. I think that it's even more amazing that Florida is implementing it and starting to trickle it into the curriculum, although it's not state mandated.
Right.
So,
right.
We can't leave our millennial parents behind. And then, you know, like as far as the resources we talked about.
Yeah, I have some great resources that I would love to share with you guys, because especially since your focus and my focus as well, to be honest, is these marginalized, underprivileged, underserved, low, you know, lack of resources communities, which, you know, if we're going to have, like, you know, if we're going to give back, I want to give back to where I came from. The pain points of my childhood and my memories are these areas that are run down and these areas that lack that funding and these areas that don't get the attention that they need, and the cycle continues. So there's, if you guys are in the Miami area, but you can research another company, if you're not in Miami, that does a similar thing. But I'm going to highlight this company right here. It's called Breakthrough Miami. And what this company does is they provide free resources to kids grade 4 through 12. And it's basically like a bridge program. So what does it include? You have to meet on certain Saturdays of the month, and they help the student get ahead in school. So if they need tutoring, they provide them free tutoring. If they need homework help, they provide them free homework help. And it's also a full summer program where they teach subjects from financial literacy. They do book clubs, but they also do fun things too, like coding and dance and cooking and drama. And it's a commitment because it is a free program, but it also targets those underprivileged communities, starting at fourth grade all the way through 12th grade. They teach you how to write a resume. They teach you how to apply for colleges, all of the things that that community needs, because they may not have a parent that knows how to do those things and can help and intervene. So the company is called, again, Breakthrough Miami. They have a website. It's an amazing, phenomenal company if you are in the Miami area. But if you're not in Miami, you can look at Breakthrough and find something similar in your county may offer something like this.
I was just about to say that. I was going to say, is that only Dade County? Because I'm literally right down the street from you.
I think so. What they do is they have sites, right? They host these programs at private schools. And it's kind of like a peer mentorship program. So the students at the private school volunteer to teach the scholars, the people who are part of that program. So, and then there's directors that run it. So adults run it. And it's just, it's an amazing curriculum. I mean, that program really has my heart. And I know that they do have a site up north. So I don't know how close to Broward it is, but there's sites like Gulliver, there's sites like Palmer Trinity, Ransom Everglades, different sites throughout the county. And I'm just not sure how far north it goes to answer your question.
Okay, I'm you gave me research to do. Now you gave me something to do. So I'm going to look through those today, Breakthrough Miami and Gulliver. But Breakthrough Miami sounds like an awesome program. And I would love to, like, you know, be a part of that in any way. I'm an English major, so I would.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I am really good friends with the director of the Gulliver site, so I can certainly put you into contact with him. But I mean, even for people who are listening to this podcast right now, if it's something that's near and dear to your heart, but you don't have kids to send to Breakthrough, or you're not in that position, even donating. I mean, I'm not affiliated with this company, so I'm not getting any kickback from this conversation. I literally just want to provide you guys resources. But like, if you're in the position to donate to a company like this, these companies are providing free resources to underprivileged students. And the qualifying criteria is you have to be a minority child. You have to be a first generation college student. Now, you have to satisfy one of these criteria, not all of them. You can be of low income, okay. So free or reduced lunch, first generation college student, like I said. There may be some others I can't remember at the moment, but basically, you know, a minority student and having those, you know, lacking resources and really, yeah,
bridging the gap between those resources and like donations. And, you know, Similar to you, I feel not obligated, but I feel like it's my duty to give back to my community, to give back to, you know, underprivileged kids. Because just like you, I didn't grow up like with mm-hmm. parents, but it wasn't the worst. You know what I mean? So I know what it's like. I know what it's like to see like my mom working her butt off and, you know, sacrificing mm-hmm. her time for money and, you know, just missing out on a lot of things. And there were a lot of things that I had to learn on my own too, because, you know, my mom was trying to provide. So, right. You know, it is what it is, but that's why I would have no problem sacrificing some time for nothing.
To give back. To yeah.
Give back. Not, when I say nothing, like, I mean, like, I don't want any money. I want to give back. I want to educate these kids in any way that I can, like,
right.
You know, teach them something, just something.
Yeah.
Or donate just something. Like,
and they need that mentorship from people like you and I mentor students all the time, and they need that type of mentorship, because just like you said, you looked towards your mom, and I too looked towards my mom, but it's not our parents' fault necessarily. I don't want to get too deep into that conversation, but they did the best they could with what they knew. And they taught us the best that they did with what they had. And, you know, I don't want to get too deep into the family conversation, but we model our lives, or at least growing up, we modeled what we learned from our family situation. And if the family situation isn't, you know, helping you get ahead with financial literacy per se, it may be because of a lack of education from the parent level, from the grandparent level, generally, generationally. And so having mentors to kind of plant the seed, and then the child run home and said, mom, today I learned about stocks. And the parent's like, I don't even know about stocks. Can you teach me? So sometimes it just needs one seed to explode, to be the change in your generation up and down. Now, what do I mean? I helped my mother invest for the first time. I helped my daughter invest for the first time. So I am literally the catalyst of change for my generations to come and the generations before me. So for people like you to provide that mentorship, it really changes everything.
That is that's dope that you invested for your mom. Like, I wish I could do that for my mom. Like, I wish I could teach her some of the things that I know that maybe she wasn't too, you know, savvy on. Like, I wish I could do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're not going to get into the, no worries. We're not going to get into the family part. We're going to move right along here. Shout out to you and shout out to your mom and shout out to your family, like the progress and how you just cultivated and built. You're just building the bag, you're building the legacy, and you're leaving something behind. But when you do that, you have to start just with the education, like you said. So in doing that, when we send our kids to college, what are some ways that we can send our kids to college? And I know you talk about scholar raise in the 529 plan. If you can, like, just give us a brief synopsis of your experience with that, how it worked out when you sent your daughter to college, and like what the experience was it stressful? Like, did you feel overwhelmed?
Absolutely. So my daughter is 13 and my son is 5. So right now I'm in the process of saving for their college, because I went to college multiple times and racked up tons of debt in the process. So it took me 15 years to get a 4-year degree. I'll say that again. It took me 15 years to get a 4-year degree. Why? Because I was all over the place. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I wanted to study. I didn't, you know, I started off doing culinary school and got my first degree in culinary arts from Johnson Wales University, my associates of science. And then I, you know, went back to finish some credits and then dabbled here, dabbled there. But the last 2 years were full-time college credits, and I finished my degree in May of 2020. So thank you so much.
Congrats.
But let me tell you, I mean, I was determined to finish, but I racked up tons of student loans doing that, right? So I look at my daughter and I'm like, I don't want her to have that same issue where, you know, she's afraid to go to college because of the cost, or she does not want to go to the best college because of the cost. I actually did a whole webinar for another company about how to save for college. So I'd love to maybe talk to you guys in the future about that, because there's scholarships and grants and the whole nine. But back to the whole 529 situation, a 529 account is an investment account, kind of like a savings account, but it's invested in stocks. But the money is specifically used for college. And what this really means is you get tax benefits on that money when you use it for college. Now, some people say, well, what if I, you know, what if my child doesn't want to go to college? Will I lose the money? Absolutely not. So here's how it works. I actually partner with a company called Scholar Raise, so you can find them on my Instagram account. And they're a great company for a 529 account. In my personal opinion, I have that company as my children's 529 account. So from personal experience, I found them very easy to work with. They have amazing customer service. The account was really easy to open, which is a big point, because some accounts are really technical and hard to open. But anyways, when you open this account, you put money into the account after your taxes. So you get your paycheck and that's after tax money. You put it into the account. The managers of the fund invest it for you. So you don't necessarily have to pick the stocks or anything. You just have to deposit the money. Now, what happens then? It grows tax-free, which is great. And then when you pull it out for college or educational expenses, you can pull that money out tax-free. That's huge because some people think, how am I going to save for college? I'm just praying that the government's going to help. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? But if we keep delaying and thinking of it from that mindset, it's just another tool that wealthy people use to get ahead, while other people who are resistant and scared of this type of vehicle, they're missing out on the time of being invested into something. So to go back to if your child does not go to college, so you can use a 529, the money in that account, you can use it for K through 12 education. So if you want to send your child to a private school, you can use this account to pay for private school. You don't have to use it for college. Or if they want to get a laptop when they're in school, they can use it for that. If they want to have room and board, you know, stay on campus, they can use it for that. If they decide college is not for me, I am not going, great. All you have to do is change the name of the beneficiary on the account. It's as simple as that. You can use that money to pay for your student loan debt up to $10,000 a year. So if my daughter, Natalie, does not want to go to college, I can switch the account to my name and start paying off my student loan debt with that money. So the money's not lost. And let's say, okay, you don't have student loan debt. Let's say it's for you, Carla, and you don't have student loan debt and you're wondering, okay, my son doesn't want to go to college. What do I do? You can get your master's degree and use that money. Or you can just continue to save it and use it for a grandchild. Or you can just continue to save it and use it for another child in your family, or your second kid, or your third kid. You get what I'm saying? There's a lot of ways that you won't necessarily lose this money, but it's a great, great investment tool.
Yeah. I was like, this is lit. Especially when I got to the part where you all were talking about the what if you don't use
yeah.
it. And I was like, uh-oh, okay, here we go. And then when you guys explained it, I was like, okay, I really love how with this plan that not only can you use it for your child, but you can use it for yourself, you can use it for books, and then you can also use it for, okay, what I wanted to kind of tap into here is, so these 529 plans, how could we get them into the community? So you know how we hear musicians and you hear Meek Mill and Jay-Z talk about how they're funding kids to go to college, right? So if we want to fund kids to go to college as a community, like, is that something possible we can do? Like where we can set certain children up in the community with 529 plans? Or would that be like...
That's a great question. And I don't want to give you misinformation. I think it is possible that...
Okay.
I think, but you're definitely going to have to go to ScholarRaise. They have amazing customer service. So you can just shoot them a question. But basically, if I open a 529 account, I can set up who the beneficiary is. So I'm not sure if I can set it up for someone who's not my child or not in my family, but that's a good question to ask them. But what you could do, right, is say, okay, I want to sponsor... You know, let's say I'm in Breakthrough Miami and I'm mentoring, or I'm out in the streets, or I'm in the library tutoring kids and I'm mentoring some kids. And I say, you know what? I want to take it upon myself to sponsor you, and I'm going to pay $5 a week. I mean, literally $5. I mean, I know I sound kind of crazy, but just the consistency of putting $5 a week away for 10 years. You know, your money's going to grow that way. Some people think they have to put in hundreds of thousands to make any type of difference, but that's just not true. So, all right, going back, let's say I'm tutoring a kid, right? And I'm like, I want to sponsor him to go to college. And he's 10 years old, so he has 8 more years left to go. I could reach out to his parents and be like, look, I want to donate $5 a month to his 529 plan. Here's the link. You can sign up for the 529 plan. You know, because the parent's going to ultimately be administering that plan and, you know, any type of implications if they don't go to college and whatnot. And you can donate directly to that plan. So Scholar Raise has a link where you can invite family and friends to donate to your child's 529 plan. So the parent can send you that link and you can just set it up on auto draft. You know, I'm donating $5 a week to that plan. Yes.
The village. That's exactly what I thought of when you were talking about that and explaining how you can get grandma or grandpa or whoever to just donate to the fund. Like, hey, you know, if you want to put this in every week, or if you want to contribute something every month, or for a part of, or even as a gift, like, okay, for Christmas, a part of your Christmas gift is going to be $150 into your 529 or Scholar Raise plan. Like, those are, that like made me happy because it just opens the door for so many endless.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Opportunities. And another thing that I see that you are heavily
yes,
the UTMA and the UGMA. And I haven't signed my son up for that yet. But I'm leaning more towards the UTMA one. But tell us, tell our audience like what your experience with that is and like which one?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So each state, let me just back up for a second. An UGMA is a Uniform Gift to Minors Act, and an UTMA, UTMA, is Uniform Transfer to Minors Act. They both work almost identically, right? It's a stock market account for a minor. You know, I want to say your child, but it's really for a minor, and I'm the custodian of that account. So once they turn age of majority in your state, so any state in the country, the account gets transferred to them. Now in Florida, the transfer age is 21, but in other states, the transfer age may be 18 or 25. You just have to look at your state and see what the age is. Now, me as the custodian of that account, so I'm technically managing it for them, I have to make the best financial decision for that account and for that child because I'm managing their money. So what does that mean? Anytime I put money into that account, it's irrevocable. I can't take it out because I want to go get my nails done. Do you get what I'm saying? It has to be for the benefit of the child and above and beyond anything that parents are already responsible for. Like, I'm responsible for feeding my kids. You know, I'm responsible for, like, you know, taking care of their health expenses. Yeah. So any money I put into that account is for the benefit of the child. Now, I harp on that because I don't want you to make any type of decision where you have to put money in, but then have to pull money out, and then you get into some type of legal trouble. But here's here's the benefits of an UGMA and UTMA account. And they're kind of identical. The only difference really is that an UTMA, you can put uniform transfer to minors, you can put assets in like paintings or real estate or stuff. That's, you know, an UGMA, you can put in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, stuff like that. But in Florida, they're pretty much grouped in together. I picked UGMA, but they're grouped in together. So the reason why a lot of people love this account is because you can gift your kids stocks, which grow, you know, over time. They really do grow over time. You can put them, you can put stocks, you can put index funds. I mean, a whole bunch, and set them up for when they get 18, 21, they already have investments and a portfolio. And if they wanted to sell that, they could use it for whatever they wanted in the entire world. They didn't have to use it for college. They don't have to use it for those types of things. So that's why a lot of people love those accounts. Some of the downsides to it, there's pros and cons to a 529. There's pros and cons to a stock market account. The stock market account has taxes on the funds. So when you put the money in, it's taxed. The growth of it is taxed. When you pull it out, it's taxed. So there's no tax advantages to having this type of account. Like if some of you guys are familiar with having a retirement account, if you had a Roth IRA, for example, you would have huge tax benefits there, but it's supposed to be used for retirement. And there's some loopholes that you can use it for other things, but that's another topic for another day. But specifically talking about a stock market account for kids, this is a great vehicle. You know, people are like, I want to invest in my kids. I don't know where to put the money. You know, open up both accounts. If that's your goal, to see them go to college, to see them go to college debt-free, and also to set them up with some investments for the future, a 529 plan and an UGMA. Simple. You know, and you don't need thousands of dollars to open these accounts. You can literally open it with $5 and watch the investments grow. Now, what I will say is, just to remember, a 529 plan, they invest it for you. So they pick the stocks and all of that. In an UGMA and UTMA, if you manage it yourself, there's no fees associated with managing it yourself besides taxes, but you actually have to pick the stocks, right? You have to put the money into the investments. And that's one of the things I also teach people how to do.
That's cool. My son, like I dibble and dabble, and I noticed one of the things that you mentioned when you're investing in stocks is to pick the companies that you spend money on. And I was like, look at her, because about hip hop measure, shout out again, Caesar. He also said the same thing. He talks about stocks a lot. Like, you have to check out his page. And he was like, you know, saying the same thing. The companies where you spend the most money and you invest the most money, that's where you should essentially like invest your money. And then especially those companies with the dividends. I remember you were talking about that. You get like the dividends, and you encouraged me because I have some stocks with dividends, but I didn't realize that reinvestment. Like I was getting them back in my buying power, but it wasn't being reinvested. So girl, last time I was talking, I'm like in April.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. So for those who don't know, what she's talking about is DRIP. It's dividend reinvestment plan. So anytime you buy a stock, right, if you buy a single stock or anything that pays dividends, you can sign up for a service called DRIP. Now, when the company pays you that dividend, the money that you get from that payout will go directly back into the same stock. So if they're paying you a dollar dividend, instead of getting a dollar in your bank account, they will put that $1 back into Apple, for example. And so that way, your initial investment continues to grow. So you go from having one share of Apple to having 1.5 shares of Apple, and then 1.75 share, and then 2 shares, because the DRIP is coming right back and buying you more shares, which gives you more dividends, which buys you more shares, which gives you more dividends. It is like, it's literally the best thing in passive income world that I could really just harp on, because this goes back to what we talked about in the very beginning about making your money work for you instead of you working for your money. So you go to your job, you bring home $2,000 and you put $500 in your investment account. And those $500 are your little employees. They are working for you. The stock is going up and you're getting dividends. So you literally don't have to do anything but park your money there and watch it grow. Obviously, stocks go up and down, but I like to play the long-term game. I put my money, I park it, I leave it alone. I do not, you know, actively day trade or things like that. So
I was trying to learn, like, obviously. I'm definitely going to have you back on another episode so we could talk about all of this, but I definitely played around with like trading options, and I made some money off of Nike, like doing like the options.
Yeah. I mean, people do it and they make good money. And I've even done it too. I've done day trading and options and stuff like that, but you just have to pick You don't have to pick one strategy. You can pick multiple different strategies that you want to tap into. And I like to play the long-term investing game.
Yeah, whichever one works for you. And when you, the one thing, one of the, and I just want to let you know one of the reasons why, maybe you can correct me if I am wrong on this, but one of the reasons why I like the UTMA account, the Uniform Transfer to Minors Act, was because of like the additional components. Honestly, my son is 8. I'm not sure if he wants to go to college. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't want to go to college, that's fine with me, but he needs to be doing something. My son is, my son wants to follow in his father's footsteps. He wants to be an entrepreneur.
Nice, nice. Good for him. He can even start his business now, you know?
So, yeah. So, and that's another thing. We are working on building businesses for him. And when you said something about if you have your kid with a business, you can sign them up for a Roth IRA. If they're making like income and stuff like that, and I was like, that's cool. And then I saw where for the UTMA, you can do not only just the stocks, but you can do the patents, the royalty, real estate. And all of that was like, okay, so if we really build it.
Yeah, absolutely. Next week, I'm going to be talking because I did a 4-week series. Next week, I'm going to be talking about Roth IRAs for kids because you can start investing in their retirement. If you have a business, so if your husband is an entrepreneur and has a business, he can put your child on payroll and that's considered earned income as well. And then he qualifies for a Roth IRA. So not only are, you know, you receiving or your son's receiving, you know, tax benefits on that, but also your husband too, because he has an employee on payroll. So, mm-hmm. There's so much to dive into on that topic. Oh, hey, I got one too. Don't worry about it.
It's just my baby daddy.
I hear that. I hear that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't make assumptions.
You're fine. No, listen, you're fine. You are totally fine. Everybody.
Well, your son and his father. There we go.
Correct. My son's father. I had to be extra a little bit with the baby daddy part. What about other platforms? So let's step outside of UTMA and UTMA because I want all my followers to go to your page and do their own research and learn from you. And then like other resources, what do you think about like Stash and Acorns and stuff like that? Are those two platforms good? I don't even know if you can.
That's a great question. I am going to research that because I, how do I want to say this? Okay. Stash and Acorns are their apps and they're heavily marketed on TV. They're heavily marketed on social media and they do the job, right? They take your spare change, they invest it. My only issue with places like that is that you can literally do the exact same thing for yourself without all the fees. It just takes a little bit of legwork on your part to educate yourself on where you should put the money and then just set up automatic transfers. And then you don't have to pay the Stash and Acorns fees. You know, people look at services like that and they think, wow, this is saving me a lot of money. This is effortless. This is, you know, stress-free. I don't even have to think about it. And for most people, yeah, maybe they need that for, you know, maybe that serves their goal. But in my opinion, I took the time to, and it's not a lot of time, honestly. I took a couple minutes to just educate myself on index funds and educate myself on where to put my money. And so I have a free brokerage account where I manage it myself and I automatically deposit money every single week. And, you know, I don't have to pay the Acorn or the Stash fees to get the same results accomplished. So I don't necessarily knock those things. I just don't use them because fees are the killer. Fees are a huge killer of your wealth, taxes and fees. If you can find a way to reduce your taxes and reduce any fees that you're paying in investments, I mean, it's truly a game changer. People think that a $10 fee is not that much, but when you have a $1 million portfolio and you're getting taxed $10,000 in fees, then you're going to start questioning like, why am I paying these fees? Do you get what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't, and that's like really something we don't learn in school, like
yeah.
about taxes. We don't learn about credit. I went to school with a lot of people who, like, their parents use their social security numbers to use their credit for the light bill, the water bill, the cable bill, phone bill. And that's just so harmful to our children's future, because not only will they have like no clue about money, but you don't even know about money right now, right? So how will you know when you get 18 or 19 or 20 and you decide, okay, well, maybe I should get a credit card, or I want to, you know, when you do get to a level of education, you say, okay, I want to invest in something. And then you go and then your credit is messed up. And then it's like, well, what do I do from this point? So you just set the child up for failure before they even get a chance to mess up their own credit. Like, what are your thoughts on this? And what would be your advice to an 18-year-old or 19-year-old where they're dealing with this, and it's kind of like their mom or dad or whomever just had to do what they had to do to make sure that the lights were on, or to make sure that their child had access to internet, you know, at that time? Like, what advice would you give to that 18 or 19-year-old that's journeying through life and wants to fix their credit and wants to go to school and make these investments, but they're kind of in a...
That breaks my heart. That really, really and truly breaks my heart. Like, not only are we starting from ground zero, but we're starting from a negative place. And it starts a cycle that unfortunately the 18 or 19-year-old has to break that they didn't create. And it goes back to educating parents, and maybe those parents learned those things from their parents. And I don't even know what to say for those poor people who feel like they're so stuck in a position where they have to do this, right? So here's what I will say. We have to get out of this cycle, right? So putting things in other people's names in order to, you know, gain credit or gain, you know, utilities or different things like that. Find out what the root of the problem is. Is it because you have poor credit? Okay, why do you have poor credit? A lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people don't want to do the deep diving into why these things are the way they are. If you have poor credit, is it a budgeting issue? Are you spending too much money? Are you not making enough money? And I'm not bashing anyone who doesn't make enough money or who spends too much money, but you need to address the problem if you're ever going to fix it. Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with you. And it's not a bashing session either. You know, it's not about bashing. It's about, and this is the whole concept of She Blows It. I know people get like a lot of different vibes when they hear She Blows It. Like, a lot of people think a lot of different things, but the concept of She Blows It is to just exalt the truth into the universe, expose what we don't know, expose things that are suppressed from us, things that the world didn't teach us, and, you know, allow, just, I want this platform to expose the ugly realities of life, and then we also reel it in by providing resources to people and helping them with those realities, right? And showing people that, you know, there is an alternative reality. You don't have to be stuck here. Right. Like, you didn't know this then, but I'm going to tell you now what it is, so you can take this information and go research it, learn more about it. And I encourage everybody to research the things that they don't know, because society keeps a lot from us, especially when it comes to finances. Like, you know, this is like in the financial world, it's like, you know, everybody's out there trying to get it. So you need to get in where you fit in, and you need to know what you're talking about. The education piece, where do I start? Breaking it apart. A lot of people want to scratch the surface. Like you said, they don't want to break apart and go and dispute stuff. Like, I remember on my credit journey, I was like, okay, let me just start. I just had to just sit down one day on the floor on my laptop and go through everything. And there were a lot of things that I'm like, I don't even know what this is. This wasn't me. Like, I didn't do that. So once I disputed it, I realized, okay. And then they take it off real quick. So I was like, okay, this is how this works. So, you know, but a lot of people don't want to do that work. And it breaks my heart too, that a lot of children grow up like this. Like, I've personally seen this. My mom didn't do it to me, but I, like, some of my friends, like, you know, I would go over to their house and I would see a cable bill, and the cable bill was like in their name. I'm like, why is the cable bill in your name, girl? Like, do you pay the cable bill? Like, what is this? She's like, oh, you know, my mom.
Yeah, but it's hard. It's hard to see that, you know, because what happens is, right, we're band-aiding problems. And we're not actually, you know, so they keep getting covered up. They keep getting covered up. But then you don't find out why you're getting cut in the first place, you know? And like, for example, she, right. your friend exactly. is probably going to think it's okay for her to do it to her kids. And then her kids are probably going to think it's okay to do it. Like, for example, if my mom didn't. So let me use a different example. If someone's parent frequents a payday loan place, to get cash advances, payday loans, no money down, you know, play now, pay later, all those types of things, the child who goes with the parent is going to think that that's normal, that that's part of their reality. When in fact, payday loans are the biggest predatory lenders out there. They're scammy and scummy, and it's disgusting because you get a payday loan because you're in a hard spot or whatever, which I get it. We've all been there. We've all been in hard spots. Like, I remember times where I couldn't pay for diapers, and I was literally, my gas tank was on E, trying to go to CVS to get a diaper. Didn't have money for gas, didn't have money for diapers. And I was literally thinking to myself, I'm probably going to have to ask a stranger for money. Like, I've been there. So I'm not speaking from a place of like high royalty or whatever, but payday loan places will charge you upward of 300% interest. Think about that. You're never going to get ahead if you frequent those places. Yeah. And they're always in the hood. Like, you think that's perfect marketing or what? Like, they prey on our ignorance to fund their scummy society, and it's a cycle. It makes me really upset, if you can tell. We're not doing that.
Yeah, I see. You're very like, oh no, you're absolutely right. They do put them in the hoods. Like, I see them like by 7-Elevens. I see them in like just, and I'm just like, this is just insane to me. Or like, they'll put it like in like the downtown areas. I know there's an area in downtown Del Rey where there's like a payday loan place. I don't know if they closed it by now, because Del Rey Beach has been so gentrified. I'm going to do another episode on that. I don't even remember, like, going to my hometown now is so different from when I was actually growing up there. Like, it has been so gentrified. We'll talk about that on another episode. Money and gentrification, and how the city tries to like leave and go to another marginalized area. But before we wrap things up, that was very insightful information as far as the credit. And although you said you didn't know what to say, like you said it perfectly.
And I guess to answer that question, I'm so sorry for cutting you off, but I do want to answer that question. Like, finding out what the root of that problem is for the parent so that they can solve it quickly to get the name off of the child. Like, I'm sorry, but I worked three jobs because I had to at a certain point. If I have to work three jobs to pay off some collections or to pay off something on my credit so that I can get the light bill in my name, that's what I will do, because I don't, like, it has to stop being okay to do these types of things to our kids. We want to set up our kids for success and not use them as our convenience or our crutch. It's just a cycle that needs to stop.
Exactly. And before we wrap up, one of my crew members on a new show that I'm on called Grown Man Logic, our host, Dewan, his name is Dewan O'Neill, and I will put his information in the description. But he wrote a book called Dear Dominic, where he's explaining the ways of life to his son, who essentially is going to grow up in America as a Black man. And he writes this book as a roadmap. And this roadmap is specifically written by his father, which I think is so dope. Like, if my mom wrote a book for me and
that is
I'm
awesome.
18 and I can go open my mom's book, that would be so cool. So I think Dominic is going to love this. But speaking of building the bag for your children, all of the proceeds from Dear Dominic.
That's so awesome.
That goes to Dominic's college fund, right? So I was like, Devon, you wrote a whole book and all of the proceeds are going to your son's college fund. That is amazing. And you know what that brought me to? That brought me to, I thought immediately about Nas, because you know, Nas for the Illmatic album, the royalties for the Illmatic album, that goes straight to his daughter because he listed
that
her
as
the
executive
producer on the album when she was a baby, right? So that is so awesome. And I want all of my listeners to play a role in the community. We all say we want to play a role in the community. We all say we want to, you know, build our community. And if anyone out there in the audience wants to make an impact, even just a small impact, you don't have to go and figure out how to open a 529 plan for the community center. You don't have to do that. If you want to do something small and make a small impact, here's your chance and a way to get involved, to send a young man to college. The link to Dewan's book will be in the description. Again, all proceeds for Dear Dominic goes to Dominic. And again, we're going to send a young Black man to college. I've already purchased my copy, so now I'm holding all of the listeners accountable. Go check out the link. You can order it off of Amazon. Mine should be here on Monday. But I wanted to use that example because I know you talk about that a lot. And I kind of reevaluated, you know, just my circle a little bit. And I realized that I'm so blessed to have so many amazing people around me and just so many amazing people, including you, Danielle, to expand my thought process on these things, because I don't put a lot of stuff together until, you know, it's presented to me, like the Sims thing. Like, I didn't even think about that, but I'll go research school board performance and measurements, but I didn't even put together the whole like Sims thing. So I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for the crew. I'm so grateful for just us coming together today and having this discussion, because this is something that, you know, a lot of people skim over and scratch the surface. They don't want to do the hard work. So thank you so much, Danielle, for joining me on the show, Build a Bag.
Carla, thank you for having me, and thank you, She Blows It Podcast. Thank you so much. I truly always feel honored and privileged to be able to use my voice and the education that I've learned, the experiences that I have, in order to help others. And if I've impacted one person to do one thing today, then I've done my job.
Yeah, you have done your job. Last night I was on there like, oh, let me enable this, let me do that. So you definitely motivated me to do something differently and, you know, to get a different outcome. So everybody out there listening, you guys be sure to check out her course. You do have a course. And also you guys check out her latest content on Instagram. It's so informative. It's not like a play page where you go for memes. This is not a meme page. This is an educational page.
And, yeah, absolutely. I am primarily on Instagram at Danielle_invests. Or if you go to She Blows It Podcast, I'm following She Blows It, so you can find me really easy there. Like she said, I post a lot of free content. You know, I'm not all salesy. You know, if you want to book an appointment with me, great. But if not, I will still provide you free information on Instagram on how to set up all these accounts, how to find a 529 plan, what to do, how to do it. Read through my content. You can get ahead just from my free content. So follow me on Instagram. And I also do lives where I bring on experts, so you can hear straight from the horse's mouth. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Danielle. That sums it up. You summed it up perfectly.